All right, the discussion is here, Master of None. We're talking episode 2 and 3, religion and first date. We could talk on and on about it, so let's get started. After Buzz, the after show for Master of None, starts right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, no. I can never do it as good as Sahai.
What?
Or evidently Rick.
You know.
Hold on, let's
see. Jazz hands. You just gotta do whatever you
want. Oh, jazz hands.
I'll have my drink.
Just be free.
Oh, okay. And Adam
lyrics. Anyways, how fun is that? Welcome. After Buzz, we are, of course, chatting about Master of None, episode 2 and 3. Hello, everybody. My name is Ronnie Jr. My social is at RandomlyRJ. And our great panel is as followed.
I'm Paige Bach, and I'm at Paige Kelly Bach on Instagram and Twitter.
And I'm Rick Hong. You can find me on all social media at Rick Hong.
And I'm Sahai, and you can find me on Instagram and Twitter, sometimes on Snapchat at Say Hi Sahai. That's SayHiTsahai.
And, of course, we're listening to that song, which was from the cab. Was this episode 2 or 3?
We're doing 3 and 4.
No, I'm sorry. Was that episode? Did I say it wrong on the open?
It's all right.
No, you said it right.
I think I said it wrong.
Really? It's all right.
It's okay if I make a mistake. We make mistakes.
The people know.
You're done.
You
gotta leave.
Are you cutting me already?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, let's start talking about it. Anyways, that song is really fun because, obviously, the cab ride did have that playing. And that we'll talk about that on first date episode, which is episode 4. But right now it's religion. They always say, as, like, friends, we're not supposed to talk about religion.
I know,
so we just, like, smacked...
Yeah, it's a very uncomfortable topic, I think, in general. And whether it's friends, family, relationships, anything, it's one of those things where it's brought up. You're like, I can say so many things.
Is it that bad, though, still?
Yes, because especially in this political climate, people are getting all angry. People are screaming at people at the McDonald's that, you know, go back to where you came from and all this crazy stuff. So it's even, I feel like, even more sensitive now.
Does it create as many arguments as, like, they say, don't talk about politics or don't talk about religion? I mean, it seems like politics is the worser of the two at this point, right?
I think the problem is it depends on how extreme you are. Mm-hmm. Like, if you are of a devout faith and there's someone else that's talking about theirs, that's where, like, the conflict comes. Whereas a guy like me, I'm just, like, curious. I'm always like, oh, well, tell me about, you know, how does this operate? How does that operate? I'm always just curious to hear everything until someone starts beating it over my head, being like, oh, and you should start. And I'm like, no thank you.
My thing is, like, what makes you the expert and the end-all be-all with certain situations? Yeah, unless you, like, really studied that subject. I mean, I feel like most people, their opinions are based on their experiences. So just because you've had different experiences than I have, you know, we can have a difference of opinion, but I don't think I'm necessarily going to always agree with you. I'm going to respect that difference, though.
So I guess the idea is you can't talk with friends about religion, but you could listen. Because, see, I like to listen.
Yeah.
Like, I know I come up, you know, with a Catholic upbringing, you know, very big. And even in my older age, like, I start to veer into different stages of, you know, Christianity and where I want to sit in that space. So for me, if you come to me with your religion, I'm very good with, like, listening. Mm-hmm. And to me, that makes my mind think, oh, everyone's like that. But apparently it is not. So I guess that's what we learned a little bit on this episode.
Definitely. I think and what was shown in this episode is how his parents were so devout religiously and how they had all these habits and things that were tied to their religion that were important to them and to raising their child. But I do feel like the generation now and the more recent generations, I think everyone's more open-minded. I think people, as we said, people are more interested in listening now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's kind of a respect, I think, that comes with religion where people are open-minded and they listen before they judge or say you're wrong or right. I think it comes with an older generation where it's like, this is the way it has to be.
Yeah, because I also, what I found interesting about this episode is that the difference of opinion came from within the family. Just because you're related doesn't mean everyone's going to agree and have the same opinions and the same feelings about things. So that's what I liked about it, because for me, my mom is from Jamaica and she was a Rastafarian, and even my grandparents who are Christian, they'll be like, oh, when your mom was in the cult, and it's like, oh no.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I was actually just gonna say, what does it mean to be Rastafarian?
Because it's a way of life. You believe that there's an Ethiopian emperor, Haile Selassie.
Oh, cool.
A deity, because he's a direct descendant of biblical figures Solomon and Sheba. So I mean, I'm no expert.
I just learned something cool today.
I just learned something cool.
I just learned something really, really cool. I've got to ask the question.
And that nuance between like your grandparents and then your mother. It's like not everyone sits in the same space, but we're all family.
Exactly. I mean, my grandparents too tried to lure me with the pork, so it happens.
I think it was interesting too, though, and it wasn't like this is what you should believe or this is what we want you to believe. It was more like he had to decide to live his own life, and his parents were trying to do something for him because they thought that that was the right way and the best way to raise their son and the best thing to do for him. So it was interesting because it wasn't like religion. It was like, I guess it was like parents trying to do right and him trying to find his way, and just kind of, I think, something that is very reasonable for
anyone.
And
I think with this show, it's like all these hot topics that they do, you sometimes forget, like, the episode is nothing but religion. Even though it's, like, smacked in our face, they have a really good way of keeping it through Dev and Dev's complexities that, you know, I still forget till the end. Like, oh, yeah, this whole episode was kind of about religion. I love the way it opened up, guys, just the different different children.
I don't want to go! No!
He's like, what is this? Yeah. He was like, but it's so good.
I thought it was a great way to open up the scene, and then that was, I guess that would have been his 8-year-old self, right?
Yeah,
experiencing bacon for the
that
first time.
That kid was really good in speaking in the Aziz Ansari way. Didn't you pick that up?
Yeah,
he was the same
way he delivered it. I was like, he's killing it.
Yeah, he captured the Aziz nuances.
Was he not the same kid though that was doing the Nintendo and the guitar lessons? I think it was that same version of Aziz. I think it was that same 8-year-old.
I'll have to go look.
Yeah.
Oh,
because there was a lot of other ones moving forward. I know we'll get to Thanksgiving down the road on another podcast, but like, I think there was different incarnations of Aziz or of Dev, but I think that same one was the same kid. Oh. They just like spiked his hair up. So it was like, oh, he's not 8 years old, he's 9 years old, which took me to a place like that's exactly what you do when you evolve as an 8 and
no,
a
yeah, right. Like, it's like that time period, right? It's just like the different hairstyles that come through. And
like, if they show a hyper color like t-shirt or something like that, I'm an 80s baby. So
whoa, you are.
You see a mullet?
Yeah.
I loved hypercolor.
That's what I'm saying. We're of that time. So that was what made me laugh about that, is that we saw that kid once, and then the next time we saw him, he had like the cooler hair. So I'm like, he must be going from 4th grade to 5th grade or something like that, because it does happen.
Yeah. Dude, aren't you wearing Genera right now, though, dude? It looks like it.
I am. No. I don't know what the fashion choice was here, but I love it. I thought the episode was really cool because we start by the Tupac song while he's like eating that almost like a salacious taste of bacon with the Tupac, Only God Could Judge Me. So I'm like, I'm in. I'm set.
I mean, it's funny because bacon tastes so good, but can you imagine eating bacon, not being allowed to eat bacon? It's like, even better.
Exactly.
Right? I kind of wish I had that experience.
No, the craziestness is the evolution of bacon. I was literally at California Donuts the other day, and yeah, there's the maple bacon donut.
I've had it.
Yeah, no, it's delicious.
So good.
It's delicious, but it's just funny to see, just like back then, it's like, bacon and eggs, and now it's on a donut.
But can you think about, like, as a kid, you know your parents tell you one thing, you're not at home, so you're allowed to do something else. Well, you think you are because you're not at home, nobody's going to see you. But then you have that dilemma, like, should I listen to my parents? Do I, you know, do what I want to do? Can I be cool with my friends? What should I do? So it's like, I remember having those struggles sometimes.
I think it speaks to everything we go through, in the sense that, like, you grow up, and then till you're about 7, 8, 9, you think every single person, even if you could visibly see that you're not the same in skin tone or whatnot, you still think everyone, to my knowledge, would have been Catholic. You think everyone has a grandparent and, you know, a grandma and a grandpa and, you know, 100 cousins. That's what you think.
Right.
But then when you get to that age, you get smacked with like, oh, this is a whole different thing. So I thought that when he was with his friend, if you notice, he wasn't even in the, he didn't even have a speaking role at all.
Right.
The friend. But it was just like, oh, yeah, when you go to your friend's places at that age, you start to experience the different culture.
And also, doesn't everything always happen at the sleepovers? Like, that's when you experience things you never thought you would. Like, I remember going to a sleepover and like the kids, like, you know, playing hide and go seek, and like somebody falling asleep too fast, and then kids putting hot sauce in their mouth. Like, that's at sleepovers at other people's homes. That's when you experience things outside of your home. That's like outside of your comfort zone.
I remember I slept over at, it was a girl I was friends with from 2, and it was like my first sleepover, and my parents were like marathon runners and super healthy, and I sat down for breakfast, and it was like bacon and different cheeses and toast and like waffles and bagels and all these things, and I was like, how many people are coming for breakfast? You know, I was just so overwhelmed with what was sitting in front of me, and they're like, no, this is just breakfast, like, help yourself to whatever you want, and I was like, this is amazing. Yeah.
Oh, you boring girls. You boring girls. It was all about going to my friend's house and raiding their dad's, like, VHS R-rated movies.
Oh, that's
and
another.
Popping yeah. stuff in and tangent. Watching. Yeah. Get, yeah, being like, Emmanuel, who is she?
If you went,
no, I didn't have that experience. Very different.
Yeah, well, yeah.
We not, followed the rules.
The cheese was overwhelming to me.
You got to break a couple rules when you're at your friend's places. I get that. What'd you guys think about his, Dev's father being so ambitious with, like, oh, you're going to say that you're fasting. You're going to tell your aunt. That's an aunt and uncle, right?
Yeah.
Do you guys like his kind of forcefulness with that, Dev's father?
I thought he was just trying to be the peacemaker.
Ramesh, right?
Yes. Yeah. I think so. Don't get me wrong.
Well, I remember because the friend later says, oh, what's up with my guy Ramesh and my girl Nish? So right. That's the only reason I kind of like remember it.
The dad, you know, he's the breakout star of the show. But I think in this situation, he was just trying to be the peacemaker. He just wanted to go have some fish. That's all he wanted.
He wanted seafood?
He wanted seafood. And, you know, he was just trying, that was his end goal. However he could get that seafood, was he was trying to make whatever happen. And I think that's like the mom seemed to be more strict and the dad was a bit more flexible. And speaking about the parents, you know, they came from India and that's where they were born and raised, whereas mm-hmm. Dev grew up in the States.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes I wonder if his parents had grown up in the States, would they be more open to being more flexible about different religions? You know, were they just following all the rules because all their friends and relatives and the older people were kind of doing that? So were they just following the lead and not kind of making their own way, right, like Dev did?
It's like never seeing anything different. It's just the way things are. Right. So you just assume that's the way things would be. And I think also when you move from a different country and when you have that sort of history in your family, I think it's hard to imagine raising your child differently with mm-hmm. different beliefs, because it's like, this is us, this is our culture. So even though we're here and this is what we're doing, we are proud of where we come from. And I think that a lot of it isn't maybe as much about religion, but it's a part of where his parents came from, where his history is, and where his culture is.
Yeah, it's a cultural and like generational thing for them.
They don't want to see it lost.
Did Dev speak to that though a little bit when he was talking to his father later in the episode, where he was saying, oh, you guys, you know, you had your life, I'm, you know, here in America, things are a little bit different. In fact, he made a joke alluding to, you know, how he could be perceived as a terrorist even, so mm-hmm. why fate sits differently with him mm-hmm. and he wants to just be a good person. That's what he was trying to say, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
I'm 33 years old. I'm a good person, so I can have my pork.
I love, though, that it took him until 33. Like, I love the moment when he was like, I'm going to order the pork. I'm going to order it. Like, that was the best moment. And
it's like a moment,
worked
yeah.
himself up. It was like when you're 16 and you want to say something. Have you ever had that experience where you want to tell your parents something and you're like, I'm just going to say it. Like, you're like, and once it's out, and then I'm just going to deal with it.
Yeah.
It was kind of hysterical.
He does it well because he respects his parents so much.
Exactly.
So I thought it was really cool to see the cousin, which turns out, Naveed, I believe is the name, mm-hmm. which turns out to be his real cousin. I was following on Instagram, and mm-hmm. I guess the guy had wrote a really long message, like, oh, you know, to choose to do this program, I'm just saying the words that come to my mind, you know, was something I maybe didn't want to do, but my cousin convinced me, and so basically,
I wanna be on TV, man.
Basically, the Naveed character with the strong back didn't necessarily want to do the show. It wasn't really his cup of tea, but he did such a good job, and I thought that was pretty interesting.
Meanwhile, I watched an interview with Aziz where he said that his mom got asked to be in another movie and play an Indian mom to, I think, Mindy Kaling.
Aww.
And she turned down the role. Aww. And then his dad a few days later calls like, hey, is there a role for Indian dad? Why is that me? So the dad is all about this celebrity life.
I love it. He's so good.
I just read an article about the mom, and she said, okay, she's like the opposite. She said to for season two, she said, can't you just say like I'm on vacation or I'm on a boat or I'm somewhere else? He's like, I can't do it the whole season. So that's why we got her.
I love it.
She's as breakout-ish as he is, just in a different way. Like, I liked at the end of the episode when she was with her people, you know, and they were celebrating. I felt like that was the first time we saw her smile a smidge. You'll have to maybe go back and watch it, but it made me really happy because, yes, it's a funny character, but she's always just like, the very mother. Stern. I would, as this show goes, I would love to see what makes the mom happy, you know? Just little things I think of for season three or whatnot. So, we saw the experience of going to Smorgasbord with the cousin.
That looked like so much fun.
Very, very much.
Oh, man, you're so full.
Yeah. Does this show make you guys want to eat constantly, I'm sure?
Yes.
I mean, Dev is eating all the time.
All the time. And he's tiny.
He is, but did you know that he dated a chef?
You're talking about
the Dev in Aziz in real life. His ex girlfriend was a chef.
Oh, okay.
That makes a lot of sense,
doesn't it? I was like, see, his art imitates life all the time. That's the trick. You just don't like try to create anything too crazy. You just keep it close to who you really are, and then it's a success.
Real quick, before we go to Smorgasbord, I did want to talk one more second about the friend. Mm-hmm. I think her name was, I'm not sure what the name was, but I do like the fact that she was talking about her experiences being Hindu and going through different... you remember that? Do you guys remember that quick walk and talk?
She's the street walk friend a couple times.
Yeah.
And I kept being like, have I seen her in an episode?
I know.
Right. Because they were so familiar. Yeah. And I was like, I kind of racked my brain. I was like, nope. Nope,
I was saying the same thing. She was the one talking about her wedding and how she played.
She did what the parents said. Right. And no, but I had to write. That's the only reason I like jumped to that thing. I guess the song was called "Fuck That Shit." I didn't even know there was a song called "Fuck That Shit."
I mean,
and it's kind of fun to say. Say it real quick.
Fuck that shit.
Maybe you?
Yeah, fuck that shit. Hey, Anthony, you got "Fuck That Shit" for us?
I don't know if we really want to hear the song, but it did make me laugh that there's a song called "Fuck That Shit." Hysterical. So Smorgasbord was also fun because not only the food, and we've seen the cousins start to like embrace the stuff that Dev, you know, the pork that Dev has been partaking in, but also we see Denise finally, which I love seeing Arnold, of course, the first couple episodes, but you need some Denise in this show.
Oh, absolutely. She's awesome.
She's such a strong character. She's so great.
Yeah, she's awesome.
She honestly doesn't even have to say much. Just, like, her presence and the way she is. And she just calls him out. Like, I feel like Dev kind of nitpicks and she's just, like, calls him out. And I love it. As soon as she comes in, I'm like, yes. Everything is right.
And I think in this episode is when she said something about, you've known me since I was, like, I guess I didn't realize their friendship had gone far back. I think it was she's kind of set it up in episode 3. Mm-hmm. And then that's when later on we see more about their relationship. But the cousin, do you think the cousin really would have indulged so much pork? Like, do you feel like Dev was like saying, come to the dark side with me?
Kind of.
Because he was still a little nervous and then he just dove all
the
way.
That was pork. Which is so funny.
I don't eat pork.
Oh,
that's what we were going to bring you for your birthday.
We're just going to bring you a whole pig with an apple in its mouth, and then we're going to put a candle on its back.
I was going to bring you
a
Cubano sandwich from Porto's, but now I can't do that.
Let me say, I have indulged in bacon, but like a slab of ham, pork chops, never.
And applesauce.
Oh, never.
Never.
And what's the reason for that?
Again, I grew up as a vegetarian, so I just never started. I mean, like, maybe some sausage here and there. Like, breakfast meats. Breakfast meats are my weakness. I mean, how can you not?
Jimmy Dean.
I mean, yeah, park sausages, you know? Dean. But most of the time, I usually eat beef. But, yeah, I didn't grow up eating it, so I didn't develop that habit. So now I don't really have a taste for it other than bacon.
Oh,
so in a couple of weeks, Cubano sandwich.
No, I don't.
We're learning so much about you and all of us.
That's okay. We'll partake.
You guys
have
the Cubano.
We'll celebrate for you. Yeah. Thanks. You guys, can I go back real quick 1 second?
Yeah,
just because we forgot as we were talking about as we were talking about how the father is just so fun on this show. I did in particularly like when he was telling Navid, his nephew, I guess. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, you got to go do the posing. It's like one, two, and three.
Killed me.
And then he talked him into doing the hair product. These almost insignificant conversations to the show yet are so fun for me.
Yeah, those are the key moments because it just gives you more insight.
Three.
Yeah, he had them ready to go. But the thing is, he's a doctor, so we think he's going to be all serious and, you know, professional. And he's really a ham. Pun intended.
But he's a gastroenterologist. He's a fart doctor, so, I mean, come on. He's going to have some sort of sense of humor, right?
Yeah.
And he's Dev's father, so it runs in the genes also. Okay, so we talked about the cousin a little bit. We talked about Smorgasbord. They're at the house, and that's when the the aunt and uncle are getting ready for the basketball game. What did Dev's father say? He said something that I was, because I'm not a sports fan, so I have to make like stupid comments sometimes. Mm-hmm. I think the dad said something stupid, like that had nothing to do with what basketball conversation they were having.
I don't know.
Anyways, it made me chuckle.
The whole thing is like I think that they were talking about relevant basketball players now.
Oh,
and he brings up Michael Jordan, who is probably arguably like the greatest of all time. But he's been retired for such a long time, so he brings it up, and people are just like, "Yeah, okay, but
the context made no sense." Yeah, that's what it was. That's what I've been there.
But mom knew a lot about basketball. She was like all into that conversation. So I was like, "Oh, that gives you. That's what makes her happy." You were asking what makes her happy.
Yeah.
Can sports. I just say I love it when the parents have a bigger role in an episode. It's just
I think
so
everyone
refreshing.
Does.
Yeah. They're so great, and mm-hmm. I'm so glad that they're like actually. His parents.
Yeah.
Like the touch that it adds is just so much better because you're like, wow, they're killing it. And then you're like, no, these are actually
he doesn't even look like them.
He does not.
But he's a combination of the two.
Have you seen the brother too who's now writing on the show?
No.
He also, yeah, because I think it's A-Z-I-N, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's very similar to Aziz. I saw in a lot of the press pictures or actually the red carpet stuff,
mm-hmm.
He doesn't look anything like Aziz either. And I, in my mind, was like, oh, that's not necessarily a cousin. I'm sorry, a brother. But on one of the interviews, Aziz said, yes, my brother started writing for this season as well.
Wow.
So we have even more of the family. Yeah,
yeah, I love that. I mean, it's hard to get a job in Hollywood. So that's right. Bring all the family
along. I like that he does that.
Yeah.
I like that he makes it authentic.
Definitely.
So we have this master plan. By the cousin and Dev to get out of what the prayer ritual
eat mm-hmm. prayer yeah
by
eat
being prayer. Sick that was the idea
food yeah. poisoning
oh I'm so sick
they had bad hollow.
But have you guys ever had that situation where your parents are like, okay, so and so is coming over, you better do this and this, like they've made some requirements
for- well yeah, you're always on your best behavior, you're almost like a different version of yourself.
Right.
It's
oh, absolutely.
It's hard to see, and we all do it as people. So when we went to watch this episode, it was like, oh, we've all sort of been trained to do that,
right.
You know, cordially, you know, family or not. That's why I like when I get older in my life too. It's like, my aunt had come in town. She lives in Denver, I believe now. She grew up in New Mexico, and she's just super religious after she lost her husband, kind of a thing. And so we spent so much time when she was in town recently, which was like a month and a half ago.
Hmm.
And I was like just screaming everything. You know, there was no holds back, but yet she was receiving my information and she was keeping her Christ-like. I guess I'm not even giving it justice to the explanation because it just kind of came off the top, but it's nice that you can go there with family.
As you get older, because when you're younger, you're scared, you don't want to be disrespectful,
oh, yeah.
But there comes a certain point where you're like, you know what, I'm grown. I'm going to say what I want to say, do what I want to do, and eat some bacon.
You don't want to get pinched.
Right.
That's pinches.
Right. Did he make a joke? He made a joke about pinches, and then she
she pinched him.
Oh, these slick writers.
She punches him and she pinches him.
Yeah. Did you guys love the heart to heart when he comes over to get his iPad fixed?
Between he and the dad.
Yeah, okay, iPad's fixed, I'll go home. Yeah, no, you're not going to go. It's been 2 weeks. You're
right.
Going to stay and talk about why mom's so mad.
Yeah, and for me, I just loved seeing that relationship between he and his dad. But it's also different than his relationship with his mom.
Mm-hmm.
And to see how upset it made him that his mom was mad at him. Because some guys, I know guys who barely call their parents. Like, they don't call their parents but every 3 weeks, every month. Whereas he's so close to his parents, having his mother mad at him, it really affected him, which was nice to see that he really wanted to make her happy and do something to make her happy.
I thought also with the dad, what I loved is we keep talking about how funny he is. Like, oh, he's nothing but funny, which is great,
mm-hmm.
but he also has such a good serious side. And I think he said certain things in both seasons that have allowed Dev to kind of figure out, you know, different choices he's going to make. With the first, when he was talking about that book, the Sylvia Plath book, I thought that was kind of monumental in decision-making. And then he told him about what the Quran meant to him and his wife, so Dev's mother. I don't know, just very pivotal stuff that makes you say, oh, he's not just here for comedy. He really is, like, he feels like the father figure.
Definitely. And it's nice with seeing a Muslim family, I think that's nice to see how, you know, to show people, okay, Muslim families are like all families, you know, for people who may not ever have exposure to or know any other Muslim people. Like, have you ever seen, like, Muslim people do the prayers?
Yes.
It's like a very peaceful thing. And when they say the prayers, it's actually, I think it comes from poetry. So the way they read it, and it has like a very song-like tone to it. So it can be a very peaceful thing. And I think that's important to show people who may not get exposure to
that. It is. It's a very different sort of light on Muslim faith, and I like it. Mm-hmm. I liked it a lot. It didn't seem in your face. It didn't seem like it was pushing a message. It really just felt like life. It felt like a normal issue, and I'm just so glad that it didn't push, like, Muslim or like terrorism.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody's plotting, yeah. Right? There's all these people plotting.
There was no like soapbox. It
I feel
was
like
just
we get
real life.
Every issue, yet we forget that issues are being given to us. You know what I mean? We
yeah.
could digest it the way we
it's
want.
It's real art.
Yeah, even the way the father talked to Dev, and you know, he decided to go to his teachings, and the quote was, "To you be your religion, and to my religion, something of that nature." So, and that's what he texted the mother. So I mean, what a great way.
I love that though. I love that he like actually put time into, I mean, he didn't really put time into it, just happened to pop out. But, you know, he picked up the Quran. I like that the way that he made up with her was kind of like meeting her halfway. He was trying to explain to her who he was at. He respected her enough to kind of reference something that was important to her.
But do you see how he was resisted in the beginning, but his resistance eventually led him to the Quran, which is basically what they wanted him to do anyway. Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, that note she wrote was fantastic. He never read it.
And, you know, have you ever heard that Kevin Hart story where his mom, when he moved out to, I think he just started acting or something, and he was getting money from his mom, and he was like, "Mom, you know, I need your help. I need money." And she was like, "Just read your Bible. And he's like, "Mom, so, you know, busy, I can't." Eventually he read his Bible, and like all this money, all his rent checks fell out because that's where she had put them. And it was a similar story to Aziz, basically, you know, your parents they want you to have faith because they know life is hard. And then sometimes as young people, we resist. But in the end, sometimes you end up going back that way anyway.
And I think especially in that generation, it was a tool for that to happen. I think nowadays, to be allowed to be emotional in this time, in this current point in time, I think is a lot more accepted than it was before. So I think if anything, I'm not disregarding faith, but I think if anything, faith is a lot of like reflection, and it's a lot of taking time to, you know, think and taking time to hope. And I think now that just in general, having emotional conversations and going to therapy isn't a stigma or something bad. I think now people are more open in that way. So maybe they're like moving away from faith, but I think in older generations, definitely, that was the freedom. That was the moment where you could let go. That was the moment where you could be vulnerable. So I think, if anything, that's kind of what parents are trying to pass on to their kids, is like, when you feel lost, when you're not good, like, this is the place you can go. This is when you can play. This is when you can reflect. This is when you can do
all those things. Yeah, it's so many different things to different people.
I also don't feel like it's completely being dishonest to... Because remember how Denise kind of gave him trash, which ultimately allowed him to order the pork at the restaurant? I also don't, like, as much as I like to be real with a lot of situations and within my family, but I don't know. It's not necessarily wrong that Dev was doing that for all those years. To me, it's very cordial to do that. And it's like, I'm just going to give my family what they want. I don't think that's bad, is all I'm saying.
Because your family knows you up to a certain point in your life, and then once you go out on your own, it's like your friends know a different version of you, and sometimes your parents don't know who that person is, you know. So I think that's what you saw in his relationship with Denise is like, you always do this, but she doesn't know as a kid, you know, that's not something that he did.
Well, that's why I love the scene at the end, you guys, when the music started kicking in. It was very slow and melodic, and it was the fellowship that his mother and his father had while they were in their ritual, and then his fellowship with his friends. Like,
yes.
To me, that was like everything we had just heard for a little bit with some good music
in
the background.
Way to sum it up.
I was like, oh, it's two different fellowships. They're all on the same path, but they're different generations and different people.
Yep.
I loved it. So that was a great way to end, and I was like,
I thought it was beautiful.
As we jump to the next episode, do you guys want to all go out with our 1, 2, 3 pose? Let's just do it together.
Our 1, 2, 3
Yeah,
pose,
okay, so it goes. He went 1. Okay, I'm doing it by myself. Maybe.
I hear
we didn't.
Is it 1, 2, 3 at the
same
time?
It's one, two, and then you like pop the face up real quick. Okay. I was really just trying to get us to
all... Why don't you just teach us? Because apparently you have those down.
No, because I was trying to turn the page casually.
Oh. Get it, turn the page?
Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm so ready. All right, so let's jump into probably the episode you guys are really excited to talk about. Religion just went long because it was very worth the while to talk about.
Of course.
So let's have the fun with first dates. a possible boning situation. Anyways, the name of the episode, episode 4, was First Date. What did you guys think and how much were you biting into this?
And I loved it. I kept sitting there thinking, did he just shoot the whole thing with like every individual actress and then decide just to pop in? It's like, oh yeah, this part was good with this person. This part was good with that person. And because of how they just kept flipping the different dates with different people.
Right.
So I'm wondering if he just went through all the scenes with them and then just decided to pop out which ones he thought like they gave like their best performance at.
Okay.
Other than maybe even the girls, all the girls he was making out with in the limousine too. Maybe that too.
Hmm. Man, I had so much fun watching that episode.
It made me scared.
It was so good.
What scared?
Yeah, I mean, I'm single, but I haven't been on a first date in a long time. I kind of like keep the same people around and just rotate them.
I like it. Oh. It's called recycling.
Recycling.
I was going to say, what's the name of this approach?
It's good for the environment.
It's very green. It's very green.
You're in LA. You have to recycle.
Thank you very much. But I was like, should I be going on first dates? Should I be online? Should I be looking for new people? Because I think dating is a muscle that you have to exercise.
Yep. It's a lot of work.
It is.
Meeting new people and going on dates is a lot of work.
And then you have to show your bright, shiny new self. Like, you can't put the crazy out from the beginning.
I know. Don't you
come
wish
in with
you...
your long day vibe.
Yeah.
Don't you wish you could just walk in with how you really feel? Wouldn't that be something else?
I mean, like, let's just cut to the chase and get to know me. And
I need to pass gas the moment I walk in. Like, if that's what's going on in my body.
I mean, that's going to let me know who you are and the types of things you do. And I mean, some of these girls did that and it just wasn't to his liking. But it was interesting for me to see the girls that he did connect with.
Yeah. Did you guys like any of the women? Because that's basically how the show starts. I wrote a couple notes down of who was who. So we had the dog groomer. We had, what did I write in these notes? My gosh. We had the Garden Depot. I guess you guys said Felicia Rashad's daughter, which has been a favorite of mine. We had the fun employed girl. Mm-hmm. We had the Indian girl who had some really serious topics with him. Lawyer. I didn't catch her name. Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. Let me go through the end of the line and then we could get into that. The cocaine girl.
Mm-hmm. Our supposed cocaine girl.
No, for sure cocaine girl.
Sugar daddy girl too, because she had a sugar daddy.
Yeah, well, that's at the end. Yeah, I put rich seeking girl. Why do I write notes like that? Rich seeking girl. That's good what notes. I wrote. And then comic book girl, which ended up being the blogger or whatnot.
Ramen blogger?
But
Ramen maniac? Or?
Yeah, yeah.
He was like, I love it. I've read it.
She was like,
Yeah, the girl that you're talking about was such a favorite. Absolutely.
I loved her. When we met her, I really was vouching for her to stick around. I really wanted her to stay.
No, we're talking about the ramen girl, or
no, the attorney.
You can talk about whoever you want.
The Indian girl, right? That was like saying, "It's like, do you date other? Do you deliberately date the fetish?" Like she was like talking about fetishes.
Yeah, because they talked about topics that maybe you're not familiar with, you know.
And then topics that, as two Indian people, they can share and discuss, which sometimes doesn't happen, I'm sure. But I like. What did you guys think about how she kept on having to, you know, handle things for work? Do you think that's rude or do you think that's
it's just real life?
I was okay with it.
It didn't bother me at all.
Unanimous.
It really didn't bother me. I feel like I'm that way.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a realistic way. Rick's got to take a moment. He's going to step out for 5 minutes. No, I felt like it was realistic. I feel like I do that. I don't think it's rude and I understand it. I also think that there's an importance when you have a relationship in making time for each other.
Mm.
But it didn't bother me at all. I didn't know. Do you think it was put in the show to be something that could potentially bother you?
Yeah, because I know a lot of people are like annoyed. Hello, didn't you see that there's a guy who took a girl to the movies? She started texting during the movie date and he sued her his money back. He wanted $17.30 back because she was texting during the date.
Time,
yeah,
man.
People are crazy.
$17 lawsuit? Like, really?
Yes.
What are you doing?
And I saw where she handed him the money back, and he was very happy. He was like, okay, now we can take it out of the courts.
It's because people are so picky, though. It's like, it's a first date. It's a first date, so it should be, you know, it's like, can work is work, and work is very important,
right.
But it's a first date, so you're making a first impression.
I guess
people still, the manner is not, you know, to... it's habitual to do this.
But at the same time, hello, those people probably met online. Like, if you met online, you know you're not the only one. So you got to keep your mind open. Like, to things are going to happen. You got to be a little flexible, you know? You're not the only one.
I feel like it could be a deal breaker because if I'm going to go on a date, I feel like my mindset's going to be like, no matter how much is going on, I need to kind of like dip the phone off and set the other plans later. Whether I want to do this at, let's say the date ends at 10:02,
right?
10:03, shwap, 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 shwap,
or when they go to the bathroom.
No, that's what I do. That's my turn. Yeah. Just go to the bathroom.
I do
and then,
like, though, that you have dates that end at 10:02.
10:02.
That's a very specific
end
time.
You better get into it. It's a thing. No, but you know what I'm saying. It's good that it's not a deal breaker for any of us at this table necessarily. Yeah. But yeah, you would just hope.
If it's excessive, because then I'm like, okay, are you texting work or your mama?
Or are you texting the next person?
Exactly.
Well, and that was so good that we saw at the end of the show that one of the things I saw last season? Oh, yeah, we saw this go last season with me, guys, where it was the girl who habitually goes on dates with people to get guys to pay for their food.
Yeah.
So that's something that happens. Yes. One of my best friends, he always dated girls like that. I was like, Chris, like, you're such a good catch. Like, people love you, yet you don't stay in the present, like, with the social circle or whatever. Yeah. He always felt, like, so much more comfortable to do click, 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 which he always found weak girls like that, you know? And so,
I mean, are they weak or are they smart?
I would say they might be weak because, well, oh, what, the
shallow.
Girls?
They might be smart, they might be strong, but they're shallow.
They have a focus, they're getting fed for free. I mean, a girl's got to do what, and guys do it too.
Bells. You know, for sure.
So, there's bells.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of about character. Anyways, that's a side note of it. But what I liked about this episode in that same vein was we showed that later on when they're at the nightcap portion of the date, that the girl is literally in his face saying, oh, I might have a better option.
Well, no, I love that when she's like, hey, so what do you think? That awkward moment when she was like, hey, can you just, I mean, hello, there are other options. Can you help me choose? Because, I mean, that was keeping it real. Like, hello, like I said, put all the cards on the table. We can't, we met online. We didn't meet face-to-face at a friend's, you know, social event. We met online. There's tons of people
You know what
online.
I loved and really appreciated was his response to it. Is he wasn't like, at first he was like, what? And then he was like, okay.
But meanwhile, he's appalled a little bit, but he has gone on like 15 other dates prior to her, so don't act like she was the only one. That's
right, he's Whole Foodsing it out also.
Exactly.
Whole Foods.
he's Whole Foodsing it.
Did I tell you I met someone that used that line?
I've never heard that line. Why does that line work, guys?
I've gone on a Tinder date where someone used that line.
Recently? Since the show came out? Prior?
No, like prior to the show where someone was like, the initial text, and I had this a couple times, but the initial text was, hey, if you introduce me to your parents, I'll tell them we met at Whole Foods.
Hilarious.
So that was like the line, and
some
that was like his, that was his Tinder line. So it was like, if anyone asks, we met at Whole Foods kind
that's
of thing.
That's funny, because now since the show has come out, I was at an event last week, and this guy was telling another coworker that he was like, hey, do you watch Master of None? And then he showed that he used the Whole Foods line, and the girl said, a bunch of guys have been using it. So guys, you no longer can use the Whole Foods line.
No, you gotta be smart like me. See, what I do is I look at them, I rate them, and then I say, okay, that girl's a Ralph's girl. That girl's Trader Joe's.
Oh my gosh.
This girl, she's
Whole Foods.
That girl's a Ralph's girl. And then there's Erewhon, that's really expensive.
Ooh, fancy.
That's like a Bob Gelson's?
There's a Bristol girl somewhere out there, too.
A Bristol girl.
Holy moly. So what is okay, couple questions here. What are you guys' because I don't know, we all met just a bit ago, guys. This after show, really no one knows each other, but yet you feel like we do.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic, because that's what this show does. It brings us together. But I want to know each of you's, and I don't even know your situations. I don't know who's single. I don't know who's mingling. I don't know who's dating.
Married. No, I'm kidding.
You know what I'm saying? My question, though, initially is, like, what is your guys' preference in how you meet somebody? Is it the online? Is it naturally?
I'm scared of online. I tried Plenty of Fish, which I called Plenty of Weirdos. And I went on one date, and it was scary, and the guy tried to attack me in his car. I mean, he just got a little handsy. He was ready to be together. I mean, like, I'm the kind of person, if we meet and we're like, I would love to fall in love at first sight. That'd be great. But then, you know, it sometimes people are a little crazy. But yeah, I would prefer to meet someone face to face, and so I can gauge, like, see how they interact in different social settings.
Right.
I think it's just it allows me to get to know them
I
better.
Think we just let me real quick I think we went so far into being okay with this online stuff, because if you remember, when online dating started, like more on the computer, mm-hmm. I could even track back my cousin back in late 90s who mm-hmm. married her now husband and their beautiful child as well. You know, everything worked out magically there.
That was like Match.com.
Yeah, and it was a stigma. So I think what happened was because during that time, late 90s, early 2000s, stigma completely. You never would dare go online.
Yeah.
Then the stigma let off. So it was kind of okay for a mm-hmm. smidge, just a smidge. And then all of a sudden, the stigma was gone, so everyone was like, oh, plop, 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 I'm going to be on all of these sites.
Yeah.
And it's just not for me, you guys. Now, I will tell you, the time that I specifically got online on the sites and the dating apps was I was living here in California my whole life, and then when I moved to New York, I had to make up for lost time, okay? So I was on all the apps, you know, and experiencing new experiences, just even sexually, you know? So
I want to know what that is.
Yeah.
My mind was like, huh?
I'm just saying it was like, I feel like I went in pretty heavy at that time.
Okay.
So it got to a point where I felt very, like, shallow within the entire situation. So I kind of came off all the sites. Like, I don't have any dating apps at all. So it made me think to myself, what would be the perfect one that I'd want to get involved in.
Right.
I think one of the ones you pay for maybe would be more appropriate because then you find somebody who's at the caliber of what you're looking for, not just a hookup. And secondly, I said, maybe I should rebring this up. What is wrong with the speed dating? I think that speed dating should come back.
I did it once and I met weirdos.
Weirdos?
I mean, a one-on-one date with one weirdo and he was a smoker.
High on the weirdos.
I know. This is the type of people that I draw. So this is why I'm still single.
And that's why you keep
They're
your
like,
rotation.
Shit.
That's why you keep
the rotation is a safe space.
Yeah, you get a lot of birthday gifts. We've been here before.
I hope so. June 8th, everyone. Please put marketing
What sign
account.
Is that?
Gemini.
What do you connect with? What sign does that connect with?
It's a double. She's double.
Multiple.
Right, twins,
it depends.
Twins, yeah.
Depends
oh,
on the day. No,
God,
okay.
That is saying a lot, Sahai.
Whatever.
Saying a lot, Sahai.
A lot of positive things, people. I don't know. I think Aquarius.
That's
and,
me.
Aquarius.
My best friend from 2 is a Gemini.
And Capricorns and Sagittarius.
What sign are you, Rick?
Aquarius.
And what does he go with? Gemini?
Oh, I don't know everybody else's. I only know about myself.
Okay, gotcha.
I don't know, dude, man. I relate to the episode because it's like I go through the aisles of like Whole Foods and then Trader Joe's and I'll slum it at Ralph's and if I'm real desperate I go to Vaughn's
or John's. Wait, looking
for women? No, I'm just kidding.
The way Rick talks about women in every episode of what we found out.
By the way, I don't think he was talking bad about women. No, I don't think he was talking bad about women last time we talked.
No, it was a joke.
I know. I'm just kidding.
I've been in a relationship so long, it's like I don't even know how to even operate those apps. I mean, I've seen my friends on them. I hear about them, and like, I'm always curious to see like how funny they can be. That's why like this episode is like so amazing to me. Be like, oh man, I'm like,
Like glad you don't have to deal with it.
Yeah,
but you know, there are married people on those apps, or people like homegirl who was like, I'm just here to meet friends, and I'm like, what? You are wasting my time. Get off.
But there's buddy apps. There's friend apps.
Oh,
now.
Are there?
Oh. Yeah.
There I are. Figure if there's farmers.com or
and
something,
also,
there must be every if there's
true.
A tall short. Thing.
There's even an app to find someone like a workout buddy in your area.
Really?
There's and it's. I think it's sad. I think it speaks to a disconnect in just society.
But we're so busy; it's hard to meet people. And then sometimes
it is.
You already have your core group of friends, and you're like, I don't need any new friends. But if you're the only single one in your circle,
it's hard
then you
to
do
meet.
Need
it does
some
get
friends.
Hard.
Yeah.
And it's one of those if you can't beat them, join them kind of things. Because when I came off social media, dating apps for sure, and then I'm really kind of not on social media to the point that, like, if going back, I mean, in MySpace days, I was like the most social media person. So I really started to see like you lose out on connections by not being online at all.
MySpace. Oh man,
what's wrong with MySpace?
No, just MySpace. So it seems so long ago. It's like MySpace. Wow.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I was as thirsty on MySpace as people are now with their Snapchats.
Okay.
And I guess this is like the big. If you don't, you know, you got to join them because I was like, oh, I'm gonna be this grown because I think I turned 35 at the time. I'm like, I'm gonna be more grown and intelligent, and I'm not gonna fuck with the online shit, but dating apps or posting.
Yeah.
And yet, then I was like, dang, I am by myself watching Master of None. Season 1,
you
2,
got,
and 3 hasn't even...
You're still looking at the MySpace page, but by yourself.
Yeah, so I'm at that... But what's good about it is, you know, my birthday's coming up in September. I'm kind of, like, in a space where I'm ready to kind of, like, kick things off and maybe do one or two dating apps, maybe do have that plan in your head, because nothing's going to happen unless you plan it, like one date a month or
small achievable goals.
I'm at that space like that. Right now. Does the episode help me with that because I got to see it? Maybe.
I think it's interesting. I think that social media is beneficial. I think that it, you can't just cut it out. I think that's just sticking your head in the sand, and it's not feasible. I think that there's a balance.
Yeah.
So I think there's a way it can add to your life, and I think that there's a way that it can just detract from your life, and you can get totally consumed by that world.
Yeah.
So I think it's just about balancing it.
And also, you don't even really need to be on a dating app, because people are hitting each other up on Facebook and
it's going down in the DMs.
Yeah, it's going down
in Instagram. The Instagram.
There's like strategic
Twitter.
Hashtags, aren't there? It's like a whole code.
Exactly. So people are dating. Like, I've seen posts where people are like, oh, we met on Instagram. And I'm like, nobody's hitting me up on Instagram like
that's
that.
That's an interesting
Well, what do you like? Give us what is the perfect Sahai guy? Maybe, because you might
Sahai
be one.
Sahai guy. I
know,
that.
Her hashtags are crazy. You might be one of these women, from what I'm interpreting as barely meeting you, is that unapproachable because you got your act going on.
Not
you got
at
it all going on. It could be.
I think I'm too. I try to be very approachable, except for the weirdos, and look, they still come, so it's difficult to filter those out. But I told myself I'm not going to date any industry guys anymore. No more actors. I'm looking for, like, I like a smart guy. Like, I like an intelligent guy, somebody that I can respect. Someone funny, too.
Yeah. Can they make less money than you? I mean, I know that's an issue that comes up a lot, too.
Yeah, I mean, as long as...
Sorry to pry all into your life.
It's okay. Yeah, and, like, we just can't be struggling together. And also, you have to be clean. I like a clean guy.
Clean in terms of...
So like, important. If I come to your apartment and there's mold in the shower, then we can't be together. I'll give you
but
a chance.
You know
to
what?
Clean it, and then we'll see how long you keep it up.
Oftentimes, that's just a sign of your life not being together, though.
Or you're looking
when you
for
just
a
let
mom,
your space
and
around.
I'm not trying
you
to be anybody's
exist
mom.
In disarray.
I work production on this TV show called Married at First Sight, and we had four.
Oh, I know some people who worked on that.
Oh, really? We had four experts, and one of the experts talked about she went into all the couples. Well, they weren't couples at the time, but all the singles. Homes and was saying how, yes, you could tell so much about what type
so
of companion
true.
This person could be. For the women, it was all across the board. They were all pretty clean, you know, just stereotypically women, I guess.
Honestly,
and that,
the messiest people I know are women.
Well, in this particular case, but... really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
I've known some messy women.
Yeah.
I've known
I guess.
Some messy women.
You know what? You know how to tell, though? If you go over to a girl's house, just open a cupboard. Just open a cupboard. Because it's like... they just shove it all in right before you get there.
But
that's
at least
like
that's good intention, though. You know, even if it's fake, it's still trying.
It's effort. Now, do you, what are your requirements? Like, do you really want a woman that can cook? Like, is cooking mandatory for you?
I don't know. Does my girlfriend cook for me right now? Let's see. Does she cook or do I cook?
Yeah. See, this is what I'm looking for.
No, I mean, truthfully, it's for me, it's always, if I was perfect, then I would have all these requirements, but I'm not perfect.
Right.
So
yeah.
It's just more about... It's always compatibility. It's like, can you, you know, that's why I've been with my girlfriend for so long. It's just compatibility. It's like, does she care about me? Do I care about her? Does she support me? Do I support her? Does she have her faults? Yes. Do I have my faults? Absolutely.
Right.
You know, especially when I'm like going down the aisles of Whole Foods looking for other women. No. I'm just kidding.
Rolling it up. It's
he
hard
commits
to
his jokes. He's good at that.
I like it. It's hard to meet someone you're compatible with, though. Like, that's very hard. And you could see that from the episode, because here it is. He attempts with Condola Rashad. Like, he thought she was going to be the one. And they actually, their date went really well.
Like
they were vibing
date.
Really well.
And then she was just like,
there was a disconnect. Yeah. She was like, that's another thing I like that he showed, that sometimes the guy can be feeling it, but as women, we're not. Or vice versa. And I appreciated the fact that she said it from the jump, and
yeah,
she didn't
exactly.
lead him on. So there was no, like, you know, confusion. But then the girl, there was the ramen girl.
Yeah, she was. That's what I thought was weird. I was like, dude, she was completely off you the whole night, and just because you talked about ramen, all of a sudden you're like, I'm gonna go make out with this girl.
Yeah,
I was
she
like,
spoke was so interesting.
She did have a
interesting
tone.
I kept watching
tone.
Her like, there's something so.
Well, they were trying to make her character.
But she delivered every line completely straight, but somehow the way that she said it, I was like, I'm just so intrigued. It was great.
It was interesting to grow with her, to see that she had her life going on. She was already dating. Because you almost prejudged her.
She wasn't stereotypical. I couldn't put my finger on her like that.
One quick thing, because I know we're wrapping up soon, I thought was really cool is Dev hates his show, Clash of the Cupcakes.
Yeah.
But we did see, while they were having that beautiful date, the nightcap, Some random gentleman comes up and says,
"Oh,
my friend was, you know, had cancer, and we watched this pretty much meaningless show, and it got us through." And
now she's helping. I appreciate that. I often watch shows that are just, I call them mind candy, and read books that are mind candy. It just takes your mind off of.
And it also speaks to all of us that are doing things, you know, creating things. Like, you know, you never know who you're going to affect in a positive way.
Right. So I love that. I like the fact, because when you work in entertainment sometimes and your friends are doctors or lawyers, you're like, is my work as important? And other people may not think it is, but what you do is important to someone. And I think that's what he showed.
And it also speaks into whatever opportunity you have. You just need to give it your all. Yeah.
And I love the cab ride scenes. We talked about that. I will say that when the girl gracefully said, "Oh, let's wait till another date," you know, because this is the girl that we liked the most.
Yes.
I was catching some tingles. I said, "I like that feeling." Although I would have rather have Dev jump, go in the house, and you know, get down to business. But I appreciated it and I loved it.
But there we saw Dev again trying to push in for those kisses. This time he wasn't scared like he was in Italy. So he finally learned.
Right, he learned his lesson.
How slick was he looking, though, with that coat? He was looking good. I remember just feeling like, dang, I don't dress that nice. But that's you doing all right, Dev.
He learned how to dress in Italy.
What it was. But then, can we talk about this?
Yeah, we got to wrap, so we'll do that part.
This money jar situation.
Oh.
Was it the money jar or the
Aunt
condom
Jemima,
jar?
Or was it like the Aunt Jemima,
Mammy kind of jar. It's so funny because perception is really funny because she did not think that it was a racist thing at all, and he did. And I appreciated the fact that he pointed it out to her, and she was like, get out of my house, which was hilarious.
Well, and she also told him, wait, so you knew that I was what you're going to call this, but yet still had sex with me, and now you're going to critique me. Yeah. So he's like, oh, wow.
He's not that dumb.
I mean, he could have been a douche after no matter what. So it's the risk you take when you sleep with someone on the first date. I thought she would have known that.
I feel like at the end of the episode, when he finally gets back to his house and he lays on that couch, it has that feeling of like when you, you know, you exhale, you're like, this is just... It's fun, all the dating's fun, but it's also really
exhausting.
A tough situation.
Yeah, and to show you can be around a room full of people and still feel lonely at times.
And then he clicks to the Whole Foods comment.
I'm just really happy that this episode didn't end with him reaching out to Noel.
To Rachel.
You know?
Yeah, no, it sat in that dark space of his loneliness.
And it makes sense.
Which I love the song at the end, which is a song by Sylvester. I Need Love Tonight is one of my favorite songs ever. So anyways, it got me really excited. But what else you guys want to say? Because we got to go.
Thank you to everyone on YouTube that commented and watched. Thank you for sticking with us. And see you next week. We're on at a new time next week. We're on Thursday at 9 p.m. next week.
Discussing the next two sets of episodes.
Yes, episodes.
So on and so on.
Yeah.
5 and 6.
Okay, so we should say our names. Okay, my name is @randomlyRJ, and I'm Ronnie Jr., and I have had a great pleasure of hosting this.
And I'm Paige Bach @PaigeKellyBach.
I'm Rick Hong. You can find me on all social media @RickHong.
And keep commenting and hit me up on Instagram or Twitter @SayHiSahai, SayHiTsaHai. Good night.
All right, that's the end of our show. Let's do the pose. One, two.
I know it's not the bows, but
we tried our best.
I tried to vote.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Content. Oh, buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.